Hey, welcome back to this episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes. Today it is a Sips episode. We are going over a aged agave piña kit from Lost Explorer. So each of these mezcals have been made with an agave, and they've declared the age of the piña in this kit. So we've gone through the 8 and the 10. And we have learned right before the break is that Jason uses orange wedges to pair really well with mezcal. So I don't have any oranges like right on hand. Actually, I do over at the wet bar. So, yeah, I made Negronis last night. So I'll go grab an orange wedge while Benjamin is going to introduce the 12-year product in here.
Brings us to the last age declared piña product, which is the 12-year Salmiana, also from San Pablo Huitepec
line
Oaxaca. It was distilled twice, same maestro as the other two agaves that we've been over, Fortino Ramos. So all these were from the same region, distilled and blended by the same process and maestro. That gave us some direct comparison. If we had to change up the exercise, would be to have the exact same variety of agave at different ages, right? So not three different expressions of agave, but one agave at three different steps of that growing process. Agave Samiana is mostly found in central Mexico. It's originally from the highlands in Coahuila, Durango, and San Luis Potosi, but is now cultivated in warm climates across the globe. This agave is often used in modern landscaping, so must be a cool looking agave, but it also can be used to produce some very unique mezcal. It's also known as the green giant for its large size, and it can take up to 25 years to reach maturity. Also known as Miguel Verde in San Luis Potosi and potentially other regions of Mexico.
I like the fence you can chew on.
mezcal made with Miguel Pucero in Oaxaca was previously classified by the CRM as agave Salmiana. This classification has changed, and now Miguel Pucero from Oaxaca is classified as agave atrovirens.
Okay. I wonder how many meetings they had to do that. Anyway, here's some of my tasting notes about this 12-year Salmiana. You know, the first thing I wrote down when I was smelling this was spicy kumquats. Like somebody had, like, thrown, you know, black pepper all up. You know, in a bunch of kumquats that had just been maybe freshly crushed in a bowl. That was what it reminded me of. Some of the tasting notes are cucumber and pepper. Definitely both of those I thought were right, you know, at the front end of this. If you had probably handed this to me in a blind, I would have said this is a really bad London dry gin, because the pepper in it is so pronounced and the sugars are very much what you would have in some gins. But it's very aromatic as well. You can smell this from like 6 feet away. It was like a sneak up squad. Like there was, you know, something attacking my palate from every single direction. I was just like, there's like no hiding place, you know, for this on your palate. So I put this in my third ranking out of these four. Benjamin, what'd you think of this?
Yeah, same thing, man. So this thing is a ride, right? Like it definitely starts with those like real nice like aloe, like fleshy fruit notes kind of on the nose. I definitely got like fresh orange, you know, to Jason's point for the pairing there. And then some overripe citrus. And I think that you're spot on, man. I picked up some like really cool subtle pininess on this. The pepper aspect is a little bit more floral, kind of like pink peppercorns for me, but from the first sip of this thing, like you kind of get the nose start to make sense, and then all of these little, you know, pings of these little like spice notes kind of start to happen, and it has this kind of cool flinty kind of stony finish that lingers, kind of hangs with you, which I think is a great way to wrap up the experience in this.
Cool. So We're only going to have time for one more person on this one real quick. So, Jason, what do you think about this 12-year?
This one was my least favorite of the line. I just felt it felt a little flat for me. It was a little more mineral and like chalky than usual, and it didn't have some of those delicate flavors that I typically look for in mezcal. And it wasn't bad by any stretch, but you know, the four that we got, this is the one that wasn't knocking it out of the park for me.
Our rating for the 12-year Salmiana in the Lost Explorer kit is going to be a 3.
Interesting.
So Moss is going to tell us about the tequila that's in here. I'm going to let him review that, and then that'll kind of wrap up our discussion for the kit itself.
Sure, yeah. So Lost Explorer was actually kind enough to include their tequila for us to try, so hope you guys are ready. This is going to be different than the other three that we just had, and it's declared as tequila, being that it's only made from Blue Weber agave, which I know isn't the most exciting thing, but just hold on a second. We're going to try it. So when Blanco means it's aged less than 2 years, and the difference between Joven and Blanco is that Blanco can be aged up to 1 month. So it's usually referred to as resting. And this product does not contain any additives like sugars or colors or anything, which is bonkers. Yes. Welcome to the American market of tequila. So the maestro on this one was Enrique de Colsa. So let's talk about it.
What do you think about it, Moss?
I thought it was great. You know, one of the things that's tricky about, you know, what I just said about the American market of tequilas is a lot of the times you try a tequila blanco and you immediately taste vanilla or oak. And if you taste that, that's a bad sign. That means there's those sugars and additives we were just talking about. And this doesn't have that. I think it's a really clean and appropriate idea of what a Blanco tequila should be.
Our sips rating for the Blanco tequila in the Lost Explorer Agave Kit is going to be a 4.
That's classified.
We only have about 30 seconds remaining. I want Jason, what do you think about this kit? Did you like the age statement? Did you think it added something to the mix of these products?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. But also, I agree with Benjamin that I think this is a great experiment. It's a great way to show the impact of age and how it affects the product. But I think a better representation of it would have been to do like an 8-year Espadine versus a 10-year Espadine versus a 12-year Espadine. That would have been a little more intentional, I think. But I thought it was a really cool experiment regardless.
Benjamin, do you think that if producers put this age statement of the piñas on their products, do you think that would translate into some value add for the consumer in general?
Absolutely. I think with the world of bottle shares and all those kind of things.
Cool. Well, that concludes our episode for today. You should, if you have a chance to ever taste this kit, might be on a back bar, you know, at a restaurant, you know, should definitely avail yourself. I thought it was very educational and got thinking about, you know, the age of everything as well. So I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for joining us, good old boy Moss.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks for having me.
Good old boy Benjamin, thank you for joining
Defender.
Us.
All right.
Good old boy Jason, who rolled his R's really well all day. Thank you for joining us.
Somebody had to do it for us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm always looking for a reason to drink mezcal.
Hey, if you're around Nashville, definitely check out one of Jason's bars. One of them is called Barrel Proof. He has a brand new one. It is called
Love's Alibi.
Love's Alibi. I knew I was going to screw it up. So, hey, this is Good Boy Mike asking you to come back, join us for another exciting episode, and keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. Milkweed plants are important to monarch butterflies. Adult monarchs lay their eggs on milkweeds, and their caterpillars feed on the leaves. Milkweed contains a toxin that helps protect the caterpillars from predators. But monarchs aren't the only ones who benefit from milkweed. Scientists in Ohio once tried to document every insect species they found eating some part of the common milkweed plant. They identified hundreds of species, including 132 kinds of beetles alone. And many bees, butterflies, and other pollinator insects visit the milkweed's flowers. Milkweed is almost like a tiny ecosystem of its own, drawing in creatures of all shapes and sizes. When it's part of a diverse community of plants, it helps many species find food and shelter, including birds. The fluffy fibers in a milkweed seed pod are the perfect lining for a songbird's nest. Not to mention, some hummingbirds drink nectar from milkweed flowers. Planting milkweed helps the declining monarch butterfly and a whole host of other species, including birds. Learn how to find seeds for milkweed and other native plants on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. A large complex of solar farms near Phoenix, Arizona, is now home to a quirky 8-inch bird called the burrowing owl.
If you saw one flying by, it'd be like a flying potato.
Greg Clark of the nonprofit Wild at Heart says most burrowing owls in his region live in holes dug by prairie dogs. But over time, much of the bird's habitat has been lost to development, and people have killed off many prairie dogs.
We've eliminated the mammals that dig their holes.
So Clark's group rescues the owls from areas about to be developed and relocates them to safer sites, into artificial burrows made of plastic drums and tubes. Years ago, before the Sunstream Solar Complex was built, his group removed some burrowing owls from the site. But now they're bringing owls back. In partnership with Long Road Energy, they're installing artificial burrows on land between two of the solar farms in the complex. Last year, Clark's group moved 19 owls that they rescued from elsewhere to the site. They made sure the owls had enough food, and soon the birds laid eggs. As of early this year, many of the owls and their young were still there.
The site is spectacularly successful.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Night wind stretches out, clever finds a zipper and pulls around. It dumps his treasure on the ground, and yet we scold it somehow. I hear them say, what makes us thrive is a common way. And in their language they will say, we'll either both bend or break.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Take a look at our program lineup at cjsf.ca to discover the diverse range of contents we bring to you.